Good morning. You're tuned into 2SER 107.3. This is Final Draft and I'm Andrew Popel. I'm joined on the line right now by Bram Presser. Bram's debut novel is The Book of Dirt. It's a story of family, imagining his grandparents' experience of occupied Prague and subsequent deportation into a concentration camp throughout the Second World War. Bram, welcome to the show. I thoroughly enjoyed The Book of Dirt and I'm excited to be talking to you about it.
Oh, thank you, Andrew. Excited to be here.
So, The Book of Dirt unfolds the story of your grandfather, Jacob Rand, moving to Prague from the country and on the cusp of establishing his life. The city is occupied by the invading Nazi army. And your grandparents' experience in their survival of war was not something that I got the sense that you fully understood growing up.
No. So, I mean, they never spoke about it, right? Mm. So there was essentially two types of survivors, those who were willing to talk and those who weren't. You know, pretty typical response to trauma, but they never told their stories. They sort of let this myth of what had happened grow around them, and it was that he was a teacher in Prague. Then when he went to Theresienstadt, he taught Jewish kids there, and then in Auschwitz as well. And my grandmother, who you know, she was this incredible just powerhouse of a woman, and who we once saw carrying a fridge through the back garden. Her story was that she laid rail sleeper tracks for the trains that would bring the Jews into the camps, and that was pretty much all we knew, and we just accepted it. They never confirmed or denied it, and then they died in 1996, about 6 weeks apart from one another.
Yeah.
And about 3 years after they had died, an article was published purporting to tell my grandfather's story. And that story was that he was, in fact, the literary curator of Hitler's Museum of the Forgotten, of the Extinct Race. And I was blown away. And so I needed to know the story. So I set off on trying to find what his story was. And that led me to her story as well. And the story of my great-grandmother, her mother, who, to me, was probably the hero of the book, actually. It was just this incredible experience of tracking down these scraps and fragments and photos and records, and you know, none of which was told a complete story, and engaging with them trying to imagine their experience.
Yeah, The Book of Dirt, it's really two stories. We have your grandfather's, his journey to Prague, his survival of the war, and the very beginnings of what is your extended family, you here today. But there's also your story, searching out the links and the evidence of this past. When did you know that you would become a character in your book?
The answer is I never did. I was writing my experience just to document it, just so that I would have, for myself, really, an idea of where I had been, what I had done, and because there were some pretty, you know, strange encounters along the way, and I wanted them documented. And also, I was never actually sure what the book was going to be. I didn't know whether it would be a book. Secondly, I didn't know whether it would just be, you know, a quest narrative of a grandson trying to find his grandparents' story, or whether it was going to be a reimagination of their stories, which became much more, a focus of the book when it became apparent that every single door that I found into their lives was just slamming shut in my face. So, you know, I turned to the fiction side and trying to kind of inhabit their lives that way and understand their experience that way from the fragments that I could kind of piece together. And at that point, I actually thought that my story was completely irrelevant. Then I actually realized that really the story is the interplay between my search and my reimagining of their stories.
That unfolding is so essential, and it was so essential to my reading. It's interesting. I mean, look, your grandfather or your grandparents' story is compelling, but it's really the way it plays against your attempt to discover it that brings so much resonance. And of course, this is a work of historical fiction.
Yeah.
It's your family, though, and their lives that populate the novel. How essential was it that you could inhabit that space, but then also create? Did you feel free to realize the action, or did you feel bound by expectation?
I was almost energized by having a document of my search to find the stories where I could sow the seeds for what I could then explore in a bit more kind of depth on a human level in the fictional side. Yeah, and so I was able to I suppose also take parts of particularly of the anecdotes I was told by people who knew them before the war, or my cousin in Prague who had heard some stories from my great grandmother and what have you. There were bits of the story that I wouldn't really be able to work into the quest narrative, but they actually were incredible stories. So, like one just offhand is that my grandmother was sending letters back from the concentration camps to her mother in Prague, her mother not being Jewish. And one of them was intercepted in Auschwitz. Mm. And an SS commander brought her in front of the, you know, in front of the roll call, and made a girl who was just selected out of the crowd read the letter. And the letter, she basically, this girl who didn't know my grandmother, basically lied about what the letter said to save my grandmother's life. And so little stories like that I wanted in the book, but they didn't really fit the quest narrative. So I had this great, I don't know, abundance of little legends and scraps that made the fictional narrative, for me, really interesting to write, and also gave me essentially waypoints that I could peg along with the quest narrative, so that they kind of worked in tandem.
Yeah, and that scene was particularly moving in the book, that story that you just related. And you had me thinking the whole time about this need to tell stories, to remember and tell them, both as personal history, but also the role that they play to inspire and give hope. And this emerges as themes throughout the Book of Dirt. But I wonder, for you, in your quest, but also, I guess, your family and their experience of this story, how important it is to reconstruct and flesh out a narrative from the records of the past. I mean, you were incredibly frustrated in your search to find true record.
Yeah. I mean, look, the reality is that they're, for the vast majority of the time, I spent 8 years writing this, and for the vast majority of that time, I could find nothing. And I was well into the fictional narrative when a whole lot of things just opened up. I got an email from a 94-year-old guy in London who happened to be my grandfather's student during the occupation, and he'd heard about my quest, and he wanted to get in touch because he's been spending, since his retirement, his life trying to piece together what happened to all of the students in his class photo, which is in the book. And the only person he couldn't find records of was my grandfather. So, so I had kind of things like that. I think, you know, the other thing that was really kind of important to me is I actually kind of, and it sounds almost trite, but I sort of liked bringing them back. I felt that, you know, I could hang out with them again. Like, I was incredibly close with my grandparents. Mm. And I feel sort of half guilty in the sense that I was able to bring them back in my mind and then put them through incredible trauma. And that was actually incredibly, that was really difficult to do. But at the same time, I felt this incredible need to just know them, having now understood that I really didn't know them, even though I was close with them. It's a very strange feeling, having, you know, people you love die, feeling that you've been very close with them, and later finding out that you literally you knew nothing about their lives. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, the book was a means of finally knowing these people I loved.
Yeah, it's interesting the way you evoked that there. I was actually having a conversation this morning with one of your text, do we say stablemates, when you're in a publishing house together, Stuart Kells, and his book The Library has just been released.
Right, yeah.
And I felt the need to talk about your book in relation to that, but we both...
Now we're even.
he was talking particularly about how in a digital world we have this threat or promise that we're going to be able to encode ourselves and come to life in computers, but that books have been doing this for as long as there has been print, that we encode not just characters but pieces of the author and parts of the history. And it felt like what you were evoking there, that in some way your grandparents are in this book, and that part of their story that you had to discover is in this book.
Yes, I think so. Like, look, you know, at the end of the day, when you write, you are, you know, you're creating, and this is also why the dirt as a metaphor also worked very strongly or resonated very strongly with me. You know, you are creating. You're creating them from the clay of words. You know, and you know, the Gollum story is very, very important in the book as well. Mm. And so, you know, you build them from clay. You breathe life into them with words. And it is true. Like it is, I want to leave a lasting document of their existence. And you know, I want to know that they will live on beyond me. It's just, I don't know whether it's a, you know, a kind of a grandson's kind of feeling of I don't know, there's a gratitude to it of you know, what they endured so that I actually exist, right? Yeah. And I feel that I owe it to them to ensure that their existence isn't forgotten.
You just mentioned there, and your treatment of the Gollum story really, really interested me in the way you sort of brought it into the Book of Dirt. Now, this is probably out of my own curiosity as much as anything, but as you were realizing that part of your grandfather's experience in, am I pronouncing this right, Theresienstadt. And you brought the Gollum story into the Book of Dirt. Did you feel like you were skirting around the edges of magical realism type writing?
Very, very much so. And it was actually a conscious decision for a couple of reasons. Firstly, like for me, like I love fables. I love magical realism. It's actually my favourite form. Mm. Right? But secondly, I also wanted to make it incredibly clear that this was a novel, that I wasn't claiming to be telling their actual stories as if it were fact, right? And so I thought that, you know, I had this double opportunity, one to actually enjoy writing in a form that I love, right? But also to make it very, very clear that I wasn't an imposter trying to pass off some sort of, you know, made-up story as fact.
It struck me, though, that there was a very real sense, as you'd evoked this world for me, that the magical realism was there, but that the interpretation that was put on those events in the story, and I'm really skirting hard around spoilers here because it's a wonderful thing to have emerge in the book. It was also a very natural response to this horrific, unnatural situation. It's a miracle anyone survived.
Absolutely.
And that an individual could put some sort of supernatural interpretation on any event seems entirely natural to me in the circumstances.
Well, I think also that, like, you know, what I was also trying to do, I suppose, with the magical realism is I never actually give the answer of whether or not the Gollum's there. You know, I wanted to keep it. It was almost it's a strange pop cultural reference, but to me, it was the suitcase in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Where, you know, they open it up, it's got the glow, but you never know what's in there. You never know, you know, the reality of it, whether it is something great, whether it's whatever, something that, you know, a light. And so with the Gollum in this, I didn't want it to become a fully magical realist story, but I wanted the possibility where the reader engages with it and thinks, yeah, you know, this the magical side of it could actually be the correct interpretation. And I think, and it's exactly as you said, and as a survivor kind of said to me, survival was impossible. Like, survival, the fact that people survived defies logic. Mm. And so, therefore, to add a magical realist element to it almost seems natural.
Mm. One of the probably the most compelling part of the Book of Dirt is this idea of a museum of the extinct race that your grandfather was, I guess, sort of press-ganged into working as a part of. It's macabre and horrific, but it seemed like this macabre and horrific corruption of exactly what you and so many people do when they seek to tell stories of family and culture. But the Museum of Extinct Race removes agency from the storyteller and seeks to reduce them to some sort of exhibit. and erasing them from history in that way. What were your feelings, though, exploring this idea and the historical reality of it?
Well, I've not thought of like that's actually really quite fascinating to me. I had heard about this idea of a museum of extinct race, and the idea being that the Nazis were going to collect a whole lot of artifacts that they planned on displaying in this museum centered in Prague after they had finished their job of decimating and completely annihilating the European Jewish population. I heard about that since I was a kid, and you know, I've been to Prague quite a lot of times. I've actually got quite a lot of family still there, and you know, you hear it there. It's part of Czech Jewish history, and it was for me kind of thinking that my grandfather was part of it was really it was mind blowing, and it was kind of scary. And it sounds wrong, but you also kind of think that there's almost an you know. There's an honor to it as well, like you know, that he should be someone who's viewed so highly that he's selected to become, you know, one of the people putting this museum together. Mm. But at the same time, like I knew that there actually is no documentary evidence of this plan to make a museum of the extinct race. So a lot of it was also me, I suppose, exploring and the question of whether it was real, and you know, without going into spoilers, the answer is yes and no, right? What my grandfather was involved in was something akin to that idea, but the central idea is itself a creation post-war. Mm. So, you know, it just the layers of creation that kind of go into memory, into building life stories are just incredible. Like, and it's amazing what does get kind of taken on as real, and accepted. And this is, you know, it's actually a really, really fraught area because, you know, as soon as there's a small detail that people that you say might not have been right, people then start kind of jumping on larger bandwagons, which are a lot more problematic to do with Holocaust denial and what have you. And I think this is, for me, one of the central questions of the book is, you know, what is the role of the writer after the survivors are gone? Mm. Do we have business telling the story? Or should we just be pointing people to, you know, Elie Wiesel or Primo Levi or writers like that who were there and can actually tell exactly what happened? And I think part of my, you know, ultimate kind of solution, I shouldn't actually use that term, the ultimate decision was that the Holocaust is beyond a doubt an absolute fact, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you can't start looking into the taboos, looking into the finer details, because it has been turned into this monolith of horror. Mm. And there are, I suppose, narrative templates that go with Holocaust stories. And we're now in a position to explore it more deeply. And I actually think you end up coming out with a lot more extraordinary stories when you subject some of the templates to a bit more scrutiny. Because while, you know, survivor stories do generally fit templates, it's only because people who, you know, seek to tell them afterwards are kind of a bit lazy. They don't bother really, revealing the intricacies and the idiosyncrasies of Holocaust survival. And again, as a survivor said to me, you know, we all endured our own Auschwitz, and it's true. You know, these are incredibly individual stories, and they're getting lost, you know, kind of in this swamp of templates.
It's a strange perversion of, it's sort of a fact of our neurobiology. I studied a little bit at university. The idea that narrative templates are a part of our way of realizing reality, but it as you say, it has this sense of erasure when you try and fit every story into a mold.
Exactly. And the thing is that, like, had I just gone with, okay, so my grandparents' stories were this, I'm not going to really look that deeply into them, I actually wouldn't have found, you know, two stories that are, to my mind, far more extraordinary than the basic templates that I had going into it. But I think you're right. Like, at the end of the day, people, it's easy to just think on, you know, accepted lines and just, and I guess, you know, smooth out the edges and what have you, because otherwise you'd go mad considering every detail of every particular story.
Mm. And so the Book of Dirt was released in late August. It feels sort of strange to be discussing your novel of the Second World War only weeks after images of Nazis actually flooded, or people wearing the iconography, flood our news. The specter of fascism seems ever present. Are you surprised that your book has emerged in an environment that seems kind of poised to echo the world that your grandparents grew up in?
Well, I mean, that to me is just like such a strange. Strange kind of moment in time to be, as you said, like releasing the book. Like, I remember my grandfather saying, being concerned about kind of the increase of just, you know, right wing general kind of chatter, for want of a better term, mm-hmm. and the beginnings of, you know, neo-Nazism and what have you, and like to see it now in. Really, you know, in Western democracies, where, because, you know, everyone always said, oh, you know, the thing with Germany, the reason it was so surprising, the Holocaust, is Germany was, you know, a refined, Western, you know, sophisticated country. And so, you know, that it happened there is incredibly scary. And now I'm seeing it, you know, the rise of this extreme right in countries that, to me, are similar to... you know, to what Germany was, and it is frightening, but it does seem incredibly timely to have a book that addresses it, that looks at it, that actually challenges it, and hopefully highlights the horrific places it can lead to. But at the same time, it's kind of scary because I'm looking at. What's happening, and I'm looking at what I've written, and the parallels are really astounding.
I'm speaking with Bram Presser. His novel is The Book of Dirt. You might have gotten the sense from our conversation that this is an absolutely fantastic book that it's really hard to encapsulate in such a short conversation, so I suggest you get out and read it yourself. Bram, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.